As a major research institution, Arizona State University offers the most online bachelor's degree programs, along with world-class faculty and dedicated support. Discover why ASU is ranked number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Tap to learn more.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bolton from Bolton. This is the show where my brother Josh and I set each other up for fun and insightful hockey talk. So how's it going over there, Josh?
Not bad. I want to add something that happened to me today. We got our flu shots today, and Denise was telling me after we got in the car to drive home, she goes, she's just kind of giggling and going, the lady at the desk for check-in asked if she saw your name, Josh Bolton, and asked if you were the Josh Bolton that used to play for the Truro Junior Ray Bearcats. So it's been a while since I was recognized for that, and it's usually somebody in the 65 and over crowd, which definitely this woman was. So my track record is intact with the ladies 65 years and older.
Look at that, the clout
there. So I had a pretty big day.
Maybe you got the real flu shot then, eh? Got the good, you know, that's what Jerry Seinfeld said that time where he's like saying, he just, when you recommend somebody, just tell him I sent you, tell him you know me. Oh, you know Bob. Okay, you get the real medicine. Everybody else, I'm giving Tic Tacs. But anyway, so I like that idea. It's a great, hey, good for you. I just feel like you'd be getting recognized more these days for all of your new roles and your current contributions to local hockey, but to be recognized for back in the day, pretty good. The Josh Bolton, everybody. Well, I've got him here. Imagine that. Well, we've got him right here and coming straight out of Brookfield, Nova Scotia. Of course, I'm coming out of Osan, South Korea, as always. But we're going into Canada. My friend Jason, loyal listener, he came out with a question that he heard some guys talking about, this idea of having an all-Canadian division next season. And let's get into it right now, Josh. What do you think? What do you think of this thing at all? Let's dive in.
I'm not against it. I'm not against it at all. I think it would be very interesting to see. I do wonder about, you know, playing the same teams over and over again, like the good old days when you had to get out of your division to go anywhere. Now the way the divisions are set up, there's not that many. It's hard to get good rivalries going. I think that would certainly add that element back to it if you're constantly playing Canadian divisions. And I think it would be a nice way to gain more interest in Canadian teams. Honestly, some of the Canadian teams that fall by the wayside, is there even still a team in Ottawa, for instance? Who knows? So
there is a team in Ottawa. They're called the Senators.
Really? So anyway, I think that it would be great to, if you see those teams more often, you'd be more inclined to watch them if it was an all-Canadian matchup. Because honestly, one of my favorite days that they have on the schedule already is the Hockey Day in Canada, where they have the triple header, all the Canadian teams in action. And it's just fun. It's been a whole day of hockey and it's all the Canadian teams. And to have that more often, why not?
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't thought of the angle of more interesting Canadian teams, some of them getting lost in some of these divisions with these crazy teams. But if they have them, Canada all versus Canada, it really focuses attention. This is the division and who's rising to the top in this one and who's doing what. Overall, I kind of like it. Now I want to asterisk it, but just I like it. I think I just like it for a season. So almost like how we had the bubble thing. It was pretty fun and exciting, and the way they reseeded and did the playoffs with the whole – the different format and all that. It's like, would you want this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. And also with the original 24 teams, like do you want to have some people give them a chance to come in with a play-in round? No, I don't. Right. But like for this time, it was kind of fun and exciting. So all the new stuff was fun and exciting and I liked it, but do you want it again? No, not at all. I think my first impression when I heard that, my first reaction was that I like it, but just for one season. So yeah, I don't think I'd want that to continue that all the time. And plus, it really is. I mean, they have the divisions for a reason. They have them, they call them by geography, right? That's the name of them. They have the teams in those regions because it saves on travel. It's a lot less, you know, you're trying to, this is a physical, this is a real game, physical human beings playing a game. It's tough. You want to stay within your region as much as you can. And that's what they do. This would require a lot of you know, coast to coast travel all the time, being in your division, which is kind of weird. It's usually a big thing to go to the other coast and spend some time over there and then come back. And then you're in your playing it within your division again. There's a reality. There's a physical reality here, a geographical reality. Mm-hmm. But I love it for a season. Go, you know, suck it up for a season because everybody would love it.
Yes. For a season. It would be almost like a throwback to the days when like teams traveled by dog sled from the Northwest Territories to challenge a team for the cup from Ontario or whatever, you know, like that sort of thing. You just see the travel and you imagine the stories they'll have. It'd be a great experience for a year, like you said. I think that's now is a perfect time to try it because why not? Everything is all jumbled anyway. And the season's going to be kind of a mess starting later and trying to squeeze it in. So why not make it as interesting as possible just for this year and then get yourself back on track?
Yeah. I think it would pump some juice into some of these teams too, like because not that they're not trying to rise in their own divisions and improve from wherever they're at. And they built these, you know, not as much as you said, they can't build up rivalries as much, but they do have some rivalries within the division. Like we're going to screw that team. We're hopping them this season and all that. But it might give them some fresh energy to be like, okay, now we're within Canada. Everything's focused on us now. We got to showcase to Canada and we're going to show that we're Canada's team or, you know, maybe not Canada's mm-hmm. team, but really have a chance to win over some Canadian fans for the future. Right. If you're Ottawa, if you're anybody, you think you don't get the attention or whatever, then here's your chance. You're in an all Canadian division. So I think there's a lot of fun to it and, you know, and everybody would be gunning for the Leafs and gunning for other teams, Vancouver, Ottawa, Edmonton, you get McDavid coming all the time to play more often in the East Coast as well. Imagine that, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's just awesome. So, and of course, this was brought up, by the way, everybody, because of who knows what's going to happen with the COVID-19 situation. So do you have to can American teams travel into Canada and then wait 14 days and then you're going to go play? You can't even do it. So the whole idea is, are they going to bring all the Canadian teams into the States and then it's like almost like an American league or something, not American league, but like, I don't know what they're planning to do with the whole season. I mean, I hope just the whole thing kind of calms down. You're kind of able to move and stuff like that. But if they do have to separate it like that, well, why not have a Canadian division to accommodate again for a season? And I think there's a lot of fun to be had with it.
Can you imagine like 18 Battle of Alberta's in a couple of months?
Oh, like, man. Speaking of the Battle of Alberta and other things, what we wanted to do on the show today is after bringing up this intriguing question, and we'll probably go back to it and there's probably more to say on it. We were going to mention some free agent signings, off-season stuff going on, all the excitement. Now, we're not going to break it down like it's already been broken down by all the top commentators everywhere. It's not like we need to pretend we're doing that, but we'll talk about it in the way that we do and we would and what's of interest to us and hopefully of interest to our listeners. So we'll do that. And you just brought that up. It's not really the Battle of Alberta, but I know that, for example, Markstrom's shifted from Vancouver and Tanev, the defensemen, are both on Calgary now, which just seems kind of out there in the West, like, whoa, those are two big names from that Vancouver team that had a run that are now on Calgary. It just seems like a lot of swapping. Last season, it was, you said, was it Calgary now? Edmonton swapped goalies or something, wasn't it?
They swapped Smith with Talbot. And, you know, Lucic went to Calgary and Neil came over to the Oilers and, you know, that whole thing. So it was already pretty interesting, the player swap there and how it affected the teams. And now if we're going to get right into it, Ken Holland and his free agency, he's done a lot by doing a little, I think. He's really accomplished quite a bit, even though he hasn't really made a big splash. So with Calgary's new additions, like you said, it's almost difficult to find a non-big name or effective name. Like within the bottom maybe six of an entire roster, but usually the top two-thirds of an NHL roster have names you're least familiar with that you're going like, wow, that guy's over here now? You know, they're familiar to you. Like even something like Kyle Turris coming to the Oilers. Like Kyle Turris, you wouldn't peg him as a big superstar, but he's kind of a difference maker in a sense that he's a very useful plug in someone's lineup. So the team that loses him is going to be like, well, now we have to replace a Kyle Turris. And the team that gains him is going to be like, well, maybe he can reinvent himself here. So, you know, even a name like that is very intriguing, even though it's a minor deal.
I want to confirm you're saying Kyle Turris is a plug. Is that right? Okay. Just want to check. It used to be an insult. I know what you said. We used to say that guy, what a plug that guy is. But yeah, he's a very useful plug to insert. I hope I haven't thrown you off. Keep going on with Kenny Holland and what he's doing in Edmonton.
No, just that, I mean, and then I guess lastly, since I'm already on the topic, I'll finish off with the Mike Smith signing. Yeah. From my understanding, what I see in headlines, I don't know if it's just to grab people's attention, but people are saying, well, all Oilers fans are pretty disappointed with that signing. But to me, I think it's a great signing because it's a very low-risk move to keep him for another year. He performed pretty well. He was one of the better goalies in the back half of the season.
Right. And, $2 million he's got.
And I think that no goalie, like, they could go out and get anyone. They could have got Hank. And he wouldn't have helped that roster the way it is now. Like, no goalie is carrying that roster to where it needs to be. They need to spend their money on other spots. And if you have a decent enough roster around a Mike Smith, he can steal you enough games where a guy, if you have enough, you do have enough difference makers in Edmonton, that if you can just fill those smaller holes, get a little bit of more depth, you're onto something with Mike Smith as your goalie, as opposed to throwing all your money into that bucket and then having to sprinkle people around the lineup like you have done for years. I think this was a much more effective way of altering the lineup. Like I said, he's done a lot without doing a lot.
I've been watching the guy for years, Detroit D-Town, right? Kenny Holland knows what he's doing, right? But, you know, and it is. You keep a guy around who's solid like that for $2 million for 1 year. Yeah, good. You can look for you still get another goalie if you get an opportunity or something. But for now, at least you secured that. That's beautiful. What are you complaining about? Right? Just you have bigger problems than your goaltending in Edmonton.
Yes.
But look pretty good. So some other big things that happened. So I guess we can go straight Taylor Hall real quick, just because he's always the biggest name in, you know, every year it seems, right? Like he's a Hart Trophy. They keep mentioning that all the time. I always, you know, I never think of him as one of these top guys in the league. I don't know if that's just me, but like he's a great player that you want, but it's not like that's my franchise guy. I never think that. Like, I don't think like, I really hope Detroit gets Taylor Hall. So then we'll just be set. Like, yeah, I like it, but not at that premium level. Like, I don't think he's that Hart Trophy guy. Maybe this is controversial. I don't know. Is it just me?
When I looked at his stats after he got traded from the Oilers, because I mean, I'm an Oilers fan, everyone knows it. I thought, who cares if you lose Taylor Hall? He only played one full season in his 5 years or whatever there, because he kept getting hurt, because he's so reckless. I wrote an article and I showed a bunch of hits saying no other superstar in the league gets hit the way he does, because he just puts his head down and goes 90 miles an hour and puts himself in the worst positions without even having a plan. It's ridiculous. And he kept getting hit and hurt. And I know he hurt his ankle in a fight and stuff. Like, he had some bad luck. But he just was not – he was the number one draft pick, and people, I think, wanted to label him as what they were hoping he'd be. And they refused to accept that maybe he just didn't pan out. So then he gets traded and he has one good year and everyone's going, oh, see, what? But he had his chances in Edmonton. All those guys did. It was ridiculous. They had to get rid of him. And now what makes me so mad is when people say, is it time to rethink Taylor Hall coming back to Edmonton? No, do not bring that ship back into the port. It's gone. Let it go. You don't need him. You don't need
especially
someone
how much
like that,
cost
especially
you.
For $8 million. Like, yeah, what the right. heck? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, you have to give it up. People, he's won the Hart Trophy, but you know, I didn't vote for him. I don't have a vote, but in my mind, I was kind of like, well, I don't know if he's the Hart, but he won it. And there are good reasons for it. I mean, is the point difference that New Jersey had and everything. I'm not going all into that. But I just don't see it every time. Like, he went to Arizona and he was pretty good. Like, but he wasn't like the crazy guy. And now he's going to Buffalo. And, you know, he's a player you want on your team. Why wouldn't you want Taylor Hall? But again, not for that price, not to be the main guy. I just don't see him as that kind of guy. But everybody's all excited every season. It's like, Taylor Hall's a free agent. What's going to happen? Where's he going to go? What's this? And it's like, I just didn't find it as exciting as some other years when it's like, there's someone around and you're like, where is that guy going? And you know, you just kind of know he's moving. It's really exciting. I didn't get that excitement.
Bread aisle, are you ready to rock? Dave's Killer Bread is the country's number one organic bread for a reason. Always delivering killer taste, killer texture, and killer nutrition. This isn't bread, this is bread amplified.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
But yet here we are talking about him.
Well, he was the big talk, right? And then I was like, oh my God. Like, I was shocked when he went to Buffalo. It was news to me. But then literally pre-show, I was like, you were talking about him. I was like, where did he even end up again? Like, I just told, like, who cares? Forgot about him. He's gone.
Yeah,
he's just a guy in the league to me.
People, I swear, I mentioned it to Josh. I said before, I said, well, we should mention Hall and do you have something to say about that? Of course, it looks like we've had quite a bit to say about it. But and Josh goes to me, he goes, well, I forget, where did he go? Where is he? Like, that's what it was. And I was like, well, there you go. I mean, where is he now? He's on the Sabres. Well, the Sabres, it's looking like they could maybe break their playoff drought, though. I mean, they are that. They are looking better and better. You got Jack Eichel. Come on. Now you got Taylor Hall. It looks good. They might have a chance. Although, at the end of the day, you're in that Atlantic. And, you know, there's still Boston. There's still Tampa. The Leafs look a lot better. And, well, why don't we go right to the Leafs? What do you think of that? Jump in there. They made a jumbo signing. Everybody's talking about jumbo. What do you think of the jumbo?
How do you lose on that deal? League minimum. He's in Toronto. What do you want? What kind of player are you going to get for $700,000? That's Joe Thornton quality. None. Sorry. That's a great deal. If you can convince him to come for that, and if he's happy, then who knows? Maybe he gets a little rejuvenation. And he seems to think that this is his shot at winning a cup based on what he says. So he's obviously there to be hungry and to try and earn his keep, so to speak. He just wants that cup now. So, I mean, if that's his attitude going in and you can get him for that price, why would you not take that risk for a year?
Yeah, man, you said you pretty much gave all the points. I don't know if I have anything much to add. Just repeat that. I think it's a good signing. Right away when I heard, I was like, yeah, $700,000 for Joe Thornton? Like, you could get a guy, like, maybe I could get in there for $700,000. Well, no, not even. But, like, a guy who you never heard of, and then instead, oh, we got Joe Thornton. And he doesn't have to play in your top six. He can play somewhere else and then play on your power play, right? So, I mean, again, all the commentators have said it, probably said all the, you know, everything about it better than we might. But as far as the kind of the way I look at it and how we see the game, I want to see a guy like that. He's excited. He's hungry. He says the cup stuff. I hear that. And I wonder if he's just trying to, like, play to the crowd, like, get everybody excited. Like, yeah, we're ready to win a cup. But it is that maybe he's trying to say, if I – do this, maybe I can spark some of these guys too and maybe get more out of them than I might have. He knows what he's doing. Jumbo's a wily veteran. So he's in there and he loves it, right? Like everybody talks about, he's from around, from the area, and he's going, kind of going home in effect. But he is happy about it. He's happy about it. I think it is rejuvenating for him. You know, it's funny. You think, well, I have a chance to win a cup. Well, San Jose still, I know they kind of fell off, but like, they're kind of good. I don't know. Like, if they just do something, but I understand what it is to refresh. Like, I always wonder sometimes when these coaches, you know, you fire a coach and they're just constantly changing, and then players are changing. It's like, what's with all these trades and coaches? Like, are these, if they're no good, what do you think you're getting? Because it matters where you go. It matters when you change, when you get a new, you slot in somewhere a little different. There's a little different culture that fits with you. There's just a fresh start. That just something looks different to you in your own view of hockey changes, like, and you just fit in better. So I think it's a good chance for him. If I were him, I'd be really excited about it. I love the idea of taking $700,000. It makes you feel even better about it, because you're not, you know, not even if it were like 1.5 or something, it would be almost be like, he's getting paid, like, as a guy. No, it's, it's like it's league minimum. So I just love the whole thing.
In San Jose, I think you're right. Like he's supposed to be the guy. He's the leader. He's one of the main guys that's supposed to contribute. And to go somewhere where you're not getting paid enough, where if you fail, it matters. You're not hurting anyone's feelings or hurting the team in any way. You're around a bunch of young guys that are hungry and want it. And you can just kind of be along for the ride now instead of really having to be there all the time mentally and constantly on guard. I think in Toronto, you can just sort of be another player on the roster that can chip in every now and again. And that's all he needs to be.
That's perfect. Right. I didn't think of it quite in that way. I said refresh, but it is true in San Jose. What you'd want is him to be, you know, a fourth line or whatever guy and then play the power play and all that. But you can't just go in San Jose and step on the ice and be that all of a sudden. You can't just go, okay, by the way, everybody, this is what I'm going to be now. And let's reset our view. You just can't. So you have to go to a new place and become that. So I think the Jumbo is a great signing. And I like, you know, I have to say with the Leafs, everything that's going on, it looks pretty good overall. I would say what they've done so far, they haven't made the splash and spent a lot of, I mean, they don't have any money anyway, because they spent it all on their top five guys, but they've done well with what they have. Like they got Wayne Simmons. I like that one for cheap. Like they need grit, right? They've got that now. He can score, he could do everything. So I love Wayne Simmons. I mean, what do you want for that price? So, and they just add a bunch of guys, and I think that they look a lot better now. The Leafs look more, they look stronger, tougher to play against, but just more exciting. I think, you know, I'm not playing the parade if I were a Leafs fan, but I would actually be, if I'm one of the calm Leafs fans, I'm generally like upping my excitement and looking forward to the season. Like we're going past the first round. Looks good. At least at the moment.
I just hope a guy like Wayne Simmons, and I said this on my Twitter, like, remembers that he's also a good hockey player. I hope he doesn't play too much to the physical side and draw that attraction and that attention. I know you have to protect those young superstars, but I mean, really, when was the last time a Toronto player got greased really badly? I don't know. I watched them quite a bit. I don't really notice that they get taken out of the game really badly by a shadow or something. I think he also just needs to recognize that he's a very good hockey player. Almost like he can be a Tom Wilson in a way where like Tom Wilson's playing first line minutes and chips in regularly in the lineup and is a very, very good hockey player. And because he's already fought so much and people are just like, well, I'm not messing with him anymore. He can just sort of play hockey now. And I think he's pretty comfortable in the lineup. He does go a little bit out of his way though. And I wish he wouldn't. He goes out of his way to throw checks. He goes Tommy. Out of his way to do it. Tom Wilson. Yeah. And I think if he focused a little more on hockey and a little more on scoring, he could do more and contribute more that way. But I know he has his role and he has his reputation and he plays it well. I just hope Wayne Simmons, if he's going to model himself in that role, I hope he doesn't go too far the other way and leave the hockey side out of it and not be useful in the lineup. He's got to remember that he won't need to do that for very long once people get an idea of where he's at. And the Leafs are just so fast anyway. You can't really waste your time chasing them around. They're actually a very good, very good team. So he could also just have some fun and be along for that ride and chip in and just, you know, kind of go with the flow. No need to stir the pot unless it absolutely has to happen and take the flow away from what the team's trying to accomplish.
Yeah, you're right on. I think with him, like he might feel like, well, they brought him in because they want it. The Leafs need to be tougher. So that's what you're here for and all that. But no, like you want to bring in a tough game, like a full game though. You want to show the Leafs how to compete and how to play. Mm. So he wants to play a full game, like just play hard and show them how to do that. Not necessarily get up in everybody's face completely. Like I'm down with that. Exactly. You mentioned Tom Wilson. Yes. You mentioned Tom Wilson. You say he's kind of established, like, okay, don't mess with this guy anymore. Now he can just play, but he still goes out of his way. It was like Mario way back in the day, right? People tried to think, okay, I will slow this guy down. He just beat up a bunch of people whenever they tried. And then they just gave up and said, okay, we're not messing with him anymore early on in his career. And then he's Mario. But I love that too. I love when these superstars take care of themselves, you know?
For sure, yeah.
Now, Tom's not in that level at all. I just that just occurred to me. No. It's fun to talk about. I love talking about Mario beating people up. So that there you go. There's your Leafs, guys. So there, what do you think? We gave the Leafs pretty good treatment here today, Josh. What do you think?
Like, I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty excited for them. I'm interested because they deserve it, I think, at this point.
There you go. So you mentioned, okay, well, let's do Ottawa real quick then. The one significant thing for me there is Matt Murray going over there. Just because right. I've been following Murray's on the Pens for a long time. I love Matty Murray. But it's the same story. Marc-Andre, how much you love him, and you go, Matt Murray, oh, there's this guy. And then you just got to let him do it. He did it. Now Jari's in there in the Pittsburgh, and he's proved that he's as good or and solid and can take it into the future. So Jim Rutherford would be like, you'd love to have these two guys, but – Matt Murray's getting paid, and he did get paid. He's like six something per year. I think he got six for 36 some point something, whatever. I don't know. And but Ottawa's got a good goalie. Like Matt Murray can be like, I'd be happy with him as the Pittsburgh goalie, number one. But if you got Jari, you can get a lot cheaper. Same quality guy. And Matty Murray gets hurt sometimes. So you get that. So now Ottawa's got him, and hopefully he can just be the Matt Murray that he was on his way to being. He's still like 25 or something, this guy, right?
Two cups over. He had two cups before. He was still a rookie with two cups under his belt. Like, I mean, who does that? And Pittsburgh Penguins fans are like, the Twitter is just awesome. They have no idea what they want for a goalie. The feud, you're either pro Fleury or pro Murray, and whichever one you have on your team, they ran Fleury out of town, some of them. I'm not saying that's why he got traded or whatever, but if you watch the feeds, like some of them are hilarious. Oh, Fleury is the worst, and we need Murray. And all of a sudden, as soon as Murray's the guy, now they're going, we need Fleury back because he sucks, and why'd we ever get rid of him? And it's like, they just have no idea as a collective. Individually, there's quite a few intelligent people. But as a collective, if you tried to grade what you thought, if you were going to run your team as a GM based on what you thought the fan base wanted, just to try and please them, at the goalie, you'd have no idea what to do, what choice to make. They were so back and forth.
Yeah, so. I wasn't all hip to all that part of it angle. But meanwhile, the organization is top notch and they know what they're doing and they're running that thing. Like they are doing that real, that the dream of what everybody wants to, like Jim Rutherford calls it, retooling on the fly, not rebuilding, but retooling. And while he's still got Gino and Sid and Tanger as the core and that Gensel and all that, they're there. So he's like, they're doing that. Like they're legit again next year. Like, look out, Penguins is just as, their window is still quite wide open.
I love the Penguins window. I do have to question a couple of JR's decisions. GM JR. He bought out Jack Johnson, but I believe he retains $1.2 million of his salary, right? But it's like, thank goodness he finally realized. Someone announces that he's like, okay, Jack Johnson's not really that bad, and I like him, and I stand by him. And then a month later, you buy him out, which is hilarious. But then you retain some of his salary. And as your backup plan, how you're going to replace him, you sign Cody Ceci? And then between the two of them, what you're paying Cody Ceci and what you're still paying Jack Johnson while he's gone equals out to about what Jack Johnson was making anyway. So you're no further ahead.
You save a mil or so. You save a mil to give it to somebody. I'll tell you what. I'll give you on the Ceci though. I don't mind because I laugh when you on Toronto is like Cody Ceci is one of your. It's like Ceci, come on, but. I think that's what happens to these players in the different environment. Like, especially when they go to Pittsburgh too, like it just become different people because they're slotted in a different way. Cody Ceci is like 1 point, whatever mil. He's like 25 or 26 years old or something. He's huge he seems huge. He plays solid. And then you've got Todd Reardon in there. Who's working with the D in Pittsburgh, and he works with all these D. He took Letang from somewhere to like Letang, right, to top level D. He takes these D somewhere. He took Niskanen and Orlov and stuff in Washington. Now he's back working with the D in Pittsburgh. Those D are going to really benefit from him. So I think someone like Cody Ceci can become like he's not even top four there necessarily, right? He'll just be bottom pair, but then he'll develop with Todd Reardon. So I think. he's only young. He was a 15th overall or something. I'm not sure if that's true, but he was a top pick, and so I think CeCe has some room there to just be like, again, you come on Pittsburgh and you just have to be a pretty good guy, not be like Toronto's looking for whenever they have a new D, they're looking for them to be a good D because they don't have any. Right. But now, sorry, I couldn't help it. We were doing so fine by Toronto today. But CeCe just gets to come and be, he doesn't have to be a top guy. So, and I think he'll get developed. I think there's a lot of room for him, and he's only at 1.25 or something, 1.5.
I mean, good for him, and I'm rooting for him. Like, I'm not watching for these players to fail. If he does great, that's great. I am cautious about how he may be an improvement. Mm-hmm. But Jack Johnson was so bad that, I mean, I guess you can't really go anywhere but up. He was that bad. I'm sorry. He's not that bad a hockey player, but he was that bad in Pittsburgh.
Right. If you guys were listening to these shows throughout the playoffs, Josh was all over Jack Johnson.
Hey, Virginia, did you know the law protects patients from surprise medical bills? Insurance companies and hospitals post cost information online. You can request a good faith estimate 3 days ahead of hospital care. Know your rights as a healthcare consumer. Visit controlyourcare.com. To learn more about patient-focused healthcare laws, controlyourcare.com can help empower your healthcare decisions. Paid for by the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Turned me on to it. I wasn't really aware. And once I was aware, it was unreal how much I noticed him for all the wrong reasons. And poor Jack, man, he's just struggling. I hope he just kind of turns it around somewhere, I forget where he signed now, but he has signed somewhere. I know, but anyway, so Jack is out of Pittsburgh. One more thing on Pittsburgh while we're there is the captain from Toronto. That one's old news, but we haven't commented on it. And, it looks at the moment that he's going to play with Sid and Jake, right? Sid and Gensel. And his, next choice, if that doesn't work out, well, he'll probably get with Gino and Rusty or something, right? Like, so it looks pretty good either way for him. But Sid and Gensel, I see a real fit. Like, people talk about, well, he's got this many goals or he's worth that. It's like, no, where do you play? Like Chris Kunitz came from Anaheim. He got 40 goals playing with Sid, right? Like you play with Sidney Crosby, it's pretty good. You're probably going to get more goals than playing third line or second line sometimes in Toronto. Like obviously you're going to do better. So I think Kapanen's got the right fit for that team and the way they play and all that. I think, and he's young, he's like 25. So again, it's a case of come over to a different team and have to be a different kind of guy. I mean, it's kind of funny. You go, well, wait, you're asking him to be a first line guy instead of being a third line. It sounds like I'm saying the opposite thing of what I said, but no, he's getting to fit in somewhere where they just need that little hole there. A guy with Sid and Gensel, that line's made. They just need a guy to help out and be another winger, not to like lift their whole thing, right? To make the top line. So it's a whole different thing. He's gonna score more goals than he did in Toronto easily, and he's gonna be worth what they paid him. And I think it's gonna work out great. Kapanen.
He's another guy where I remember when Phil Kessel was first traded to Pittsburgh, and I had some reservations about it, but Phil, he's fit in nicely. But it took him a long time to get on any sort of a scoring thing. And fans were like, oh, that was a bad deal. Let's get him out after like six months or whatever, 2/3 of the season. And my point, same thing with Joe Thornton in Toronto is a good example of this. You don't get guys like that to have super regular seasons. They are there conditioned themselves to be ready for the playoffs. That's why you get guys like that. Mm-hmm. And Phil Kessel in the playoffs was damn near the Conn Smythe Trophy winner that year.
He might have been, yeah. You might have.
That's when you wanted him. That's what Thornton's going to be. If he decides, I don't want to practice today or whatever, I mean, let him do whatever he wants to make sure his body and mind are ready for a run, because that's what these guys need, is someone to just sort of – they've had some chances in the playoffs. You know, they blew with obviously the 3-goal lead to Boston. They did this big rally to come back in game 5 just this year and then blew that. Like, they're right there. They just need someone to come in and just settle them down. And, you know, a Thornton is – I'm not a big believer, honestly, in wasting a roster spot for that locker room guy. Honestly, I'm not.
No.
But I think Joe Thornton's still a good enough hockey player to play hockey. But you still are going to want to be lenient with him and give him those days off and those rest days or whatever. Like, he doesn't need to do every game of the regular season. But come playoff time, I bet you he's going to be playing, you know, what he needs to play all while doing that. I don't think he just needs to be in the locker room, rah, 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 rah. He's going to show these guys what to do. And you can put him out in certain situations where maybe they didn't have that guy with that experience or that composure to do stuff like that. This is why you get players like that. And a guy like Kapanen, I mean, he's younger. He's a little more go, go, go. I think it will actually maybe settle some of the core in. Like, he's kind of the opposite, I think, where you get him to maybe be a little bit more of a workhorse and do some of the dirty work and allow the other players to get themselves through the season so that they're ready to be who they need to be around players like Kapanen to lead them down the stretch. So it's kind of a... It's just funny how you look at what teams are doing and you try and grade them after a couple of months. And it's like, well, is this really working? But you got to give it time.
Give it time, people. So many of the stories are like, if the cup runs are, they were hit, like St. Louis was out of the playoffs. Then they came back and then they won the cup. Pittsburgh was at Christmas was out. And then they came back and they won the cup. And just so many stories like that. It's just calm down, people, fans. Relax after a week, after 2 weeks, a month.
When you look, honestly, I know it's difficult to predict the Stanley Cup winner, and I don't have the stats to back this up, but I remember writing an article when Pittsburgh first won the Cup. I actually predicted, like not first, but the first when they had the back-to-backs in, what was it, 2016. So the first year they won the cup, I predicted that. That was the first year I was actually writing for them on a Penguins site. And I said, they're going to win the cup, and here's why. And I went through. They were literally the single hottest team going into the playoffs as far as their record and their goals for and against differential and stuff. They just got hot at the right time. Like I said, with Phil Kessel, he came on at the right time, and everyone was just clicking. And if you look at St. Louis Blues, I mean, how do you go from last place to making the playoffs without being the hottest team in the league, and then they get themselves into the cup. You can really predict your cup winners based on how teams are doing in the back half of the year. It doesn't necessarily matter what seed they get. It's how they have compared to teams in the last 15, 20 games heading into the playoffs. Generally, in my opinion, like I said, I have no stats to back this up. Someone could come to me with the last 15 cup winners and say you're dead wrong, but this is the vibe I'm getting, where you just need to be hot at the right time. And as long as you keep yourself in contention and then you get on that roll, you're fine and you have a really good shot. And we talk about it quite a bit. There's so many teams that are able to do that. On a moment's notice, where they look like they're not quite there or something's not right, and then they just click. And like we said, there's so many teams that could potentially win the cup. It's almost impossible to predict, but there are certain leaders or indicators that suggest that teams are more likely to win than others in any given year. And that's a different team every year, which is fantastic for the NHL, but not so fantastic for gamblers and bettors, I guess.
No. And for GMs and people just losing their mind, trying to keep jobs, like just losing it, right? Because you're trying to keep these fans happy. And they're like, what's going on? We thought we had the whole thing. Well, yeah, 32 teams think they have it now with the Kraken coming. You got it right with the thing. It's like different teams need different stuff. And you got the Kapanen versus Thornton. What do you need a guy to come in and calm down these young guys. You need a young guy to help lift up these guys who are getting older, etc. You need all kinds of stuff. You mentioned the Toronto comeback, and it's one of the craziest comebacks we've seen in a long time. And I just thought this has just occurred to me now. So I don't have the stats or the whole thing. So I'm going to mess it up. But just to recall that one a couple years ago, involving Jumbo, where was Pavelski got knocked out with a cross check or something, and he had to leave the game. They got the 5-minute power play, and it was Jumbo Joe. They went to the thing, and he just told them all, like, go score, go win the game. Like, and it was basically, they were like, oh, we have to because Jumbo told us to. Like, there was a lot of that when Couture was telling the story. He was obviously involved in making it happen, but when he was telling the story, it seemed to me that it was a lot to do with how Jumbo put it in them that this is what you have to do now. So you get that leadership. He was involved in one of those crazy comebacks. They came back and they got 3 goals or 4 to come back and win in a 5-minute major. Mm-hmm. In that game. That was crazy. It was like one of the, I don't know which one was crazier, the Toronto one or that, in the last few years. So look into that.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah. Review that story. Go look on YouTube or whatever to really get the full thing. Cause that's Jumbo's got that effect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what about just to grab a few more, because we talked about the Penguins really quickly. I just got to think of the Caps too. We mentioned Todd Reirden, the Penguins and all that. And they're right in the Metro. Schultze. Oh, I love Justin Schultze on the Pens, but he's on the Caps now. He didn't just go somewhere else. So now I'm like, I have to deal with him like on that team. And then they get Hank. What do you think of the Hank signing? Henrik Lundqvist.
Braden Holtby is one of my favorite goalies in the entire NHL. And it's partly because of how he just looks so cool. If I was going to be a goalie, I would want to be him. He's just so cool. And the way it's almost funny because the thing I find coolest is how he reacts whenever he gets scored on. He sits there and he puts his hat up and he looks at the thing and it's like he can't believe that a goal possibly went in on him. And he's just baffled as to how it could have possibly happened. He's just that, like, it's almost like he doesn't even get down when he's scoring. He's just like, I don't understand who could have possibly beat me because I'm just so awesome. And I'm not saying he's arrogant. He just looks cool. Like, but then you replace him with Henrik Lundqvist, one of the suavest guys in any professional sports. Like, he's just like, I'm just Hank. And like, he's just so cool. And there's videos of him with his kids touring DC and all that. He's just an awesome guy. And, you know, he wants a cup for sure. And just again, someone like you say, Schultz goes from Pittsburgh to Washington. Well, who goes from the Rangers to Washington? Like, it's just some of those teams that you're always familiar with that you see play against each other, and it's like, how do you do that? And you just get excited for it. And Washington's obviously already a contender anyway. You almost hope for Ovechkin to get a second cup, and they seem hungry enough, and they still have their core in place and all that. And then you add Henrik Lundqvist to the mix. Like, what a great deal. What a great time in that man's life. There's just no reason to not be happy about this deal.
No, yeah. He's coming in as the backup, too. Not that he won't push for the starter, but he's coming in as a backup to help this young guy that they've got already. So they're looking good. And you've got that as your – if this guy kind of cracks because he's a little young yet, you got Hank. That's – what do you want? Right. So, and again, you get him for cheap. He's 1.5 or something, I think he's got. So Holtby's out there. He goes to Vancouver for a couple of years, and that's good for Vancouver because they lost Markstrom. So you get Holtby out there. It was funny when you said he looks so cool. And I was like, well, what do you mean he looks cool? Like he's cool under pressure. He looks calm and cool. And I know about that stuff. That seems to be about his psychology. Like, they have that kind, that stuff, those sports psychologists. That's his part of his whole thing, that he's like Zen or something. So he is really cool that way. But when you said he looks so cool, I was like, what do you mean? Like, with all his crazy hair and his beard thrown down to his shoulders and stuff like that, he looks like this horrible guy. And then they're getting him out and then bringing in Hank Lundqvist of all guys to replace that. You're certainly getting an upgrade in the looks department. Like, not, I don't even mean just like physically he's a handsome guy, Holtby, but just how he's grooming, right? And Hank is the opposite of that. He is the king of it, right? So I think Washington fans will be like, ooh, we certainly, you know, a lot of people will be pleased out there to see Hank. But great
goal.
You
talk about refreshing. Like, how tired does Henrik Lundqvist look with his career? Like, how exhausting must it be to be a goalie in the Rangers franchise over the last 5 years?
And plays like 70 games every year.
Oh, and like I said, now he's like dancing in the streets and he's just all over Twitter. And he's just like, all of a sudden it's like his career's starting over. It's like,
yeah,
a good reset, right?
Right. He gets to be back. Yeah. He gets to be a backup, but yet potentially a number one if he plays well. Right. So, but like, it's just a perfect role. like those guys, man, I would, if I'm, cause you know, we're old enough, 42 and 41 at the moment. And, they were right in that kind of league. Like he's not quite as old as us, but Jumbo, if I were in that position, I would love to be on a team like that, pocketed in those roles, and just, I would feel rejuvenated. I'd want to bring it. Oh man. How about the, let's try quick here. The Canadians, Toffoli is a good signing. That Anderson guy, I don't know much about this guy, this Anderson, but he's getting paid more than Toffoli, so he better be something.
He's going to score them some goals. That's what they need. He's got the potential to be a 20, 30 goal scorer, I would say.
Well, they need him to be 5.5. You better get 30.
But he's, to me, I don't know, Mark Bergevin, he's frustrating because he makes a couple of moves and you're like, okay, I see where he's going with this. And then he never follows up with anything else. He does these three or four moves or one or two even, and it's like, okay, let's see where he's headed. I think I see what's happening here. He's addressing a certain need. And then he just does half the job, never quite finishes it. And then it shows, I'm sorry, on the ice. And Montreal's problem, again, this year, it was the same thing I always hoped the Oilers did not do. I wanted the Oilers to finish 27th or worst every time because I wanted the GM to realize that what you're doing isn't working. And if you come 12th or 13th, you might think, oh, you're only a piece or two away. The Canadians are not a piece or two away. And he's only adding a piece or two and hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. And they went on that little bit of a run today, and I think it might have given people some false hope. And it just... I just hate when that happens to a team because they're not as close as maybe they looked like from last year.
You're right. I know. But you got to at least enjoy it. Those are decent signings though anyway. You could say that much, but then, yeah, like take it easy on there. Go with what you got here and then try to add. Don't just make splashes for no reason. Go beyond.
I love those signings. Don't get me wrong. I think those players will help them. But yeah. You also gave away...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Domi, which I both love and hate, because yeah. I'm not really a big Domi fan, but he's a pretty useful guy to have.
We'll take him.
In the lineup, right?
You had Avery on your line, on your team, right, back in the day? Yeah. Like, oh, Avery, what a – yeah, you want him on your team? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, right, so I'd take Domi too. I'll tell you, how about this then? I thought of just something I didn't have on my notes here, but I remember now is the Chicago situation. What do you think of that? Let's just make a comment on this thing. What's going on in Chicago? Like, I mean, I guess that's all we're saying about it. Like, oh my God. But for me, I'm just like, I can't believe that whole thing. And I just don't know why. It just seems you would have talked, communicated with those guys early. And then maybe if you're going to be, now they finally announced it's a rebuild to everybody. So that's official. Mm. Maybe they're going to go ship these guys off and get some stuff back in return. That could be for some excitement for a lot of people. Like, can we get Kane on our team? Can we get Taze? Yeah. Like, we have to give up some stuff that's in our rebuild. But for teams that have a lot of assets and are good and contenders now, yeah, give up some of your assets to go for it now, right? I mean, why not? Get some of these guys, Taves or Kane. Like, imagine adding that to your team. So, and then Chicago, if they're announcing rebuild, again, there's a two question. One is, do you keep those guys around to help with the rebuild, to like, you know, mentor the young guys and show them how to be Chicago Blackhawks and how to win? Or do you just get a bunch of good assets to speed up the rebuild in effect by getting rid of Taves and Kane and stuff like that and Brooke, Seabrook and Keith? I don't know. Do you have anything on that?
Well, we talked about this in a previous show, is identity for teams. And there's certain teams out there that they have a fairly decent lineup, but they don't have that sort of guy everyone's going to follow, or they don't have that sort of plan where you know what to expect from them every night, because they were told, okay, this is how we're going to play. This is what we expect. This is the culture we create. The Chicago Blackhawks right now, I said before the playoffs started that they're a team that they have players that have been conditioned enough in the league that they know how to turn it on at any moment. But when you look at them as a franchise, there's a reason that they have to turn it on, that it's not already there, is because I think they just need a complete reset as far as identity. I don't necessarily know if that means, I didn't know they were going to go into a full-on rebuild and turn their team around. I don't want to be Captain Obvious after the fact and say, well, yeah, of course they do. But I think if you decide that you're going to go that way, like they seem to have, then you need to go all in, pick a new face, pick a fresh identity, and make the Chicago Blackhawks whatever you want it to be, starting from day forward as if it's a new franchise.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what the Blackhawks are.
You know?
Like, if they were going to go into the season as is, as they are right now, what are they? I don't know. It ain't right. that team. Like, it ain't that team anymore. I used to hate that song that I know the name of it, too. Oh, my God. It's such a popular name. But anyway, but that song, holy crap, I hated that, because when they were just beating up on my teams and winning cups. But that's not them anymore. They're not scary at all. I don't know what they are. So I agree. I would say pop it up, like blow it up if you're going to do it. And you mentioned, are they going to go that direction? Well, they have announced an official thing to their fans that we are rebuilding recently, because Taves met with them and they're like, what's going on? And then they finally said, okay, well, we'll put it out there. But it was probably pretty much going on. You could see it for a couple of seasons, but like now they've announced it. I guess why don't we, this seems to be a lot for, we've been going on for quite a while. I do want to wrap up though, we haven't even referred to the cup final. There was a Stanley Cup champion, right? That was several weeks ago. We talked about, we had like a show, made our picks. And then the next show we talked about who we thought might have won the Conn Smythe, might win. And then a couple of weeks ago, we did our show about our dad, when we invited Turin on. And then since then, we haven't been back on. So let's just go back and see, just kind of tie up the cup. What we said is in our cup prediction, we both picked Tampa. You surprised me with your pick. You had said, actually, at the time I asked you about it, and you said,
I'm telling you, I'm going to say the same thing about the Dallas Stars that some awesome fan had in the 1991 Stanley Cup Finals when Pittsburgh played Minnesota. There was a guy in the stands that held up a little sign that said, twinkle, twinkle, little star, just be glad you got this far.
Whoa! And you could see that I was just blown away by that, because I had thought that you were like all picking Dallas and tell me, oh, you're feeling Dallas and all this stuff and Heiskanen and all that. But good call on that. Good call for both of us on that one. And then on the Conn Smythe, there's nothing to say why Point should have got it or Kucherov shouldn't have or whatever. But I kind of have in my mind right now that Hedman is kind of the Conn Smythe. And why not? I do actually think now, looking back on it, if you do like take him out of there, it just looks pretty... This looks kind of scary now. I don't like our team right now without that guy standing there. You know what I mean? If you take out the other one, it's definitely no good, but it is. I mean, deserving. But again, I would not have objected if it were Braden Point or something. I would have said, even Vasilevsky, I might have said, because, you know, that guy competed. But it was one of those three, I was sure. And there we go. So we hit pretty good on those. I guess it was pretty not too hard to pick that part though, the Conn Smythe, because there was nobody from Dallas, as you mentioned. I'll tell you something about Dallas I wanted to mention is that we never mentioned the whole time, Nova Scotia boys, Rick Bowness, head coach of Dallas, right? And we never really took that into consideration. Of course, I still would have picked Tampa thinking about it, right? But I mean, because I just thought they were going to win. And of course, he even has said they were the better team and they did it, right? I heard him recently on the Chicklets podcast because he was there. I was like, oh, Rick Bowness, great. I'll listen to that one. And just loved hearing him talk about it. And one thing that I want to mention to you is you were talking a lot about Heiskanen the whole time throughout the whole playoffs. And even when I picked Hedman, we were looking through the stats to confirm Kucherov's points, and you found that Heiskanen had 4 more points than Hedman. And we were talking about Hedman was on this record goal scoring record and all that record. And then, but Heiskanen was just like this crazy guy, and you don't even really talk about him as a candidate. Well, Rick Bowness, I heard him talking about it. He just said this guy is the guy, like Norris Trophy guaranteed kind of guy. Are you aware of this at all?
I didn't know Rick Bowness said that at all. No.
Yeah, he's 20, but just or even aware that he's that level guy. Like, are you aware of that? Like, not just from what you saw, but
I became aware of it this year and heading into this playoffs. Like, he was something special in that play-in. In the play-in round for sure. And I noticed him a little bit before that, but I was like, I tell you, this guy, like, I don't see why he wouldn't be. He's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. I don't have to go in to repeat everything that he was saying because, I mean, he already said it on another podcast, but just for people who are listening here, it's just exciting to hear about new, exciting players and to watch them and then see if it really happens. Because to get the inside from Rick Bowness, he was saying that last year after he did something in the playoffs or whatever, some guy said, oh, I would have thought about my Norris vote if I had been paying attention, but they don't pay much attention. Then the next season, he comes this year. And then at the end in the playoffs, when he's doing that, they're like, ooh, I might have had a Norris vote for him. And he's like, well, you know, pay attention now. And the guy's 21 years old. And he was talking about him like he's the guy. He said that he's the guy who – you need something to happen. He goes out, he scores them a goal when they need it or whatever. He's a defenseman, this guy, right? And he just plays with poise with the puck. He said that when he comes off, I am saying everything he said on the podcast. He said when he comes off, it's just too exciting to me. He said when he comes off and he made a mistake, he just says to him, hey, what's his name? Miro. I think he says, anyway, he said his nickname Miro, and he just kind of looks at him and goes, yep, like I got it. Like I know what he did. He doesn't have to show him the iPad. He doesn't have to show him what happened, show him the tape. He just kind of, I got it. Cause he says his hockey IQ is so high. He knows what's going on and he's just learning at a high rate. He does the stick angling, like Nick Lidstrom, he said, just controls where people are going, controls the whole game. And the big one to cap it all, he just said that this is his team. It's going to be his team. Like, It's already his team. It's taken over and it's going to be his team. So that's just like shows me like, oh, Nick Lidstrom, guy that you look to make something happen when you need something. This guy's 21, remember, again. And then it's his team. Like, this is what Rick Bowness sees. Wow. I'm looking out for this kid now. It's exciting. More these players to look out for. Like, because, you know, these guys leave the league. People like Lidstrom and Datsyuk leave the league and you go, oh, man, it's like, Connor McDavid's here. That's great. Like, you know, it's like, this is great. We have somebody else. And then there's like someone else coming up. Now you got Heiskanen. You got Nate McKinnon. So there's always, you know, it's just more exciting guys coming. So
I love that he never gets rid of the puck. He never gets rid of the puck. You can make a long career out of off the glass and out if you want to. You'd never get beat. You'd always have the puck out of your zone. You'd never get scored on. But you'd just be a boring guy that had a long career. And, you know, you get guys like this that just refuse to give up the puck unless they know where it's going and they put it where they want.
Who are you talking about now?
Heiskanen.
Oh, okay. You're like long careers. Like, what? Lidstrom? Datsyuk? No, but yeah.
You can have a long career of off the glass and out, like a typical defenseman who just is playing to not get beat. Or you could be a guy like that. I know it sounds obvious, like you want the game breakers, but it's – imagine being 20 or 21 in the NHL and holding on to the puck when you have these people coming at you and being brave enough to dance in front of your own end and skate it out of the zone instead of making you'd be a great first pass defenseman and nobody would think wrongly of you. That's a great first pass from your zone out to the neutral zone. That's a beautiful thing to do. But if you have the patience and the know-how to skate it from the goal line to the blue line and suck someone to you first and give you that many more options right up the middle of your own zone. That's elite stuff.
That's what he said too, Josh. He said like when their power play breakout's not working and their entries and all that are not working, they go, just give it to Miro, right? Just give it to him, because then even though they're pulling the goalie or he's on his way out when they're getting the extra attack or whatever, just give it to him, because then he'll make it work. So he'll like skate it or do it. He'll just make it. He'll do the right thing. So it seems like pass it to Will. But this is unreal. This guy is 21 years old, and then it's two times that they mentioned, oh, I might have considered him for a Norris Trophy already. And he's talking about that. That level praise to me just kind of blew my mind. And I, you know, and you look at the playoff stats, as you said, he was up there in the top scores of the whole playoffs. And, you know, but what game are we watching? I don't know what we're watching if we don't see. I mean, you saw a lot. You brought him to my attention. But then now to hear this, it's like I'm looking out for this kid.
He's top scorer in the playoffs on a team that went on a goal scoring drought. And like, luckily went against another team that couldn't score. It was the only reason they made it to the Western Conference Finals anyway. And, you know, it took, they were scoring a ton at the start, and then it sort of died away, it died away later than I anticipated, but it still did. Tampa Bay was scoring fairly regularly. You know, their guys were getting points, but they weren't getting such a high percentage of the points of their team that this guy was getting.
No, like Palat was scoring a lot too. Like everybody, you just hear it. Right. Like, okay, yeah. Kalorn, like you get these guys, but Dallas was just Heiskanen. And Pavelski was scoring a lot too. But yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Josh, I think we've done quite a bit today. We've gone quite far into this stuff, all over it, all over the map on the free agency and all this stuff. And there's certainly more to talk about, but we'll take it up on another show if it's worth going into. If there's something you guys think that's really worth saying, make a comment. You share what you think about it and see if we can get some conversation going there. In the meantime, guys, enjoy the offseason. Hopefully your team can make another little move that gets you excited. And we'll see you next time. Is that an eggnog? What is that?
It is. It just looks classy, too, when the friends go.
Eggnog. Oh, man. I had eggnog once last year. Jason made some and brought it to my Christmas party. But there's no eggnog in the stores. And that doesn't exist. That isn't a thing. And they get it out in October, right? Like, when do they start having that?
I've seen it in July.
What do you mean in July? It's only like,
there's a couple of weeks in July sometimes where it's in there.
I can't believe you're drinking eggnog. It's freaking awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
Eggnog.
Yeah. Everett loves it too.
Who doesn't love? I mean, anyway, okay.
Rory and Denise both hate it.
What? It's liquid candy.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.